State Rep Julie Alexander in the house.
Good morning, Greg.
Still in the House and hoping to be in the House next week.
In the House of Representatives as well. Yes.
How are you?
I am doing well.
Haven't seen you in a couple weeks. So.
No. I look forward to once we get through the election cycle and have our results next week. We will be in Lansing. Legislators will be in Lansing next week, going back right on Wednesday and Thursday of next week. So I would love to be able to stop by again next Friday and starting from then on out in giving legislators updates again. And thank you and McGivens Radio Group for giving me the opportunity to give that state update. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. COVID record cases every day now.
Yes. Yep. This is serious. There's no one is doubting or questioning that. We need to look at a big picture. We know that we are testing more. We know that there are more people congregating, and as we work our way back to putting things back together in our local communities, we are congregating more, we are testing more. Again, I have my mask around my neck when I'm out knocking doors. The mask, I just wear this band around my neck. We need to be cognizant of washing our hands and keeping that safe distance. We need to rely on our medical community to help guide us. And that is why the State House created a plan, an action plan, as to what we see the best way to handle this. And again, it's got to be, I believe very strongly, it's got to be a regional approach. It's got to be county by county, because again, each community is different and unique.
The health officer in Linda Vale in Lansing really kind of trashed that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Piecemeal approach.
I understand some of the concerns and frustrations, but I think ultimately what we know is our medical experts are knowledgeable. We need to be able to depend on our medical experts. But we as legislators also need the information. Give us the data. Help us to understand what the metrics is in place.
Mm-hmm.
What I like best about the plan, Greg, is it rewards a community that's doing well. Let's promote good behavior instead of continually holding people back and communities back, allowing schools and businesses to move forward. It reminds me of being back in the classroom. We reward the good behavior. When you reward good behavior, you will find that students engage and become a part of the process. That's what I think we've been missing for quite some time.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know if you call it bad behavior, but
well, people want to be defiant because they're being told what they can't do. You know, empowering people, I feel strongly, leads to better behavior.
And then we're seeing an uptick in the schools.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're back. They're mingling. Again, kids are resilient. School districts are doing a great job of putting all the pieces in place. They've got plans of action. Each school is addressing it in a manner that they deem is needed and necessary. But not only should we be talking about that piece, but let's continue having the conversations about academic success for kids. Let's talk about the mental and emotional, the social well-being of our kids. Let's talk about the challenges parents are having when their kids are home and our kids learning. The stories I'm hearing from families and parents, some started out with sending their kids to schools. These are in the secondary schools. But now they have their children learning from home. Why? Because of the academic concerns they have. The students learning at home are taking open tests, can open their books for tests. The grades are significantly different when you're learning from home rather than that contained environment at school.
Sure.
And these are parents that are concerned about their kids' grades because they're going to be heading off to college and they need a higher GPA. At the same time, we have parents that are so frustrated with that at-home learning because they're not a teacher and they're not sure how to even teach that. If I hear one more time, that new math, right? The way we teach elementary, middle school math is different than what we learned. And parents are struggling with that. Teachers are struggling because they have to provide, they're doubling up on the work. They have to teach those that aren't in their classroom, teach those that are in their classroom. So, again, these are challenging times, not only on when we're looking at the COVID-19 issue, but now an upcoming flu season, right? So then others question that, you know, the testing, and there's just so many pieces moving around here. We need to be cognizant and have the conversation in regard to all those issues.
Are you concerned we could get back into more restrictions?
I believe the governor's departments may push that forward. You know, we'll see. Again, show us the data. We continue to ask for the numbers, the metrics. What does it take to get to move forward? So we know there's an uptick of positive cases. What does that look like in regard to people that are actually ill? How do we know they're not false positive tests. How do we know? We look at the hospitalization rates, and that has to be taken seriously. It absolutely has to be taken seriously. But we ask those that are our medical experts to come to the table, and let's have an inclusive conversation. Let's include everyone.
So I know you've been talking to more and more voters. What are they PO'd about?
You know, I walked this city recently, and a lot of concerns with streets and road conditions. So I still do get that every so often. You know, let's face it, we are making progress. And for some people, the progress isn't fast enough. And in other communities, they're pleased with what they see.
I think we've done better than most.
I do too. But it's because the voters went to those polls in certain townships to, they were willing to pay more money in the form of taxes and step up and help those townships through the collaborative efforts with JDOT and the townships to improve those communities. Yeah, so I'm hearing a lot about the balance of government that they want in place, their frustrations with the last 6 months, the last 7 months, wanting a balance of power back in place, wanting information, feeling left out of the process, not being able to have their voices heard. And I know that's why my office receives so many phone calls, so many emails, so many people still reach out to their legislators because they don't know who else to call and they're frustrated.
Unemployment's still an issue.
It is, but out knocking doors, it honestly warmed my heart because so many people showed so much gratitude to me as I was knocking, just thanking for all of the help. And I said, that's what you sent me to Lansing to do. That's what I promised to do, is to be here for you. You know, you're not going to like all my votes. Let's face it, that's just the way it plays out. But I want everyone to know I'm here to serve everyone. We don't, at my office, ask, you know, did you vote for her? It doesn't matter. We're here to serve the Jackson community.
You mean even if they're Democrats?
We don't ask. It's about the people. It does not matter. It does not come up in conversations. What does matter is that your voices are heard, and that I am always willing to do all I can to get you answers, to find solutions, to help you navigate, whether it's unemployment or licensing. One of the ladies' doors that I knocked on, she said, you helped me a couple years ago licensing my daycare. We were having some problems. And, you know, some of our local restaurants and bars dealing with the liquor control license, our realtors, Secretary of State. We just help people navigate all of that. And all they have to do is reach out to me personally and or my office. And that's what we're there to do. And Greg, that by far is the best part of my job, you know, helping people when they're having problems and issues.
So you get back in next Wednesday. Is there anything on the docket there?
I have not seen the agenda yet for next week, but we need to continue moving several pieces of legislation forward. I have not seen the agenda, but we'll just continue finding pieces that need to be in place now that the executive orders, now that the Michigan Supreme Court has ruled the governor's executive orders are non-compliant with our Constitution. So we'll be having those conversations as well.
What have you heard about the car insurance issue? How's that working?
It is working well for a lot of people. Now, every once in a while, I'll get someone say, well, it didn't make a difference. And I would question whether they actually talked to their agent to look at what their options were. It doesn't happen automatically. So you need to be proactive with your car insurance agent and ask the question, if I take PIP, personal injury protection, which is the health care portion of your car insurance, if I remove that health care option from my car insurance, what would it lower my premium? How much would it lower it? But again, be very cognizant of what benefit you're losing, because each and every individual needs to make that decision based on what their current health care plan is. But I am hearing from a lot of people that are very grateful for it. A lot of senior citizens are very grateful. But again, it's a conversation that each individual needs to have with their agent.
Do you think Julie will have this election? You think it'll be buttoned down on Tuesday, or
no,
is there room for chaos?
There's always room for chaos, isn't there? Unfortunately. But, I am hopeful that that I will have my election results. I know it's always been done in a timely fashion in the past. And also, even if a few of the precincts haven't reported late on Tuesday night, we kind of know where we're at from a historical perspective. So I'm hopeful that when I go to bed Tuesday night, I will have an answer on whether the people of the 64th District will be sending me back to Lansing for one third and final term in the State House. I'm hopeful that we will know if we have maintained the House majority. Again, there are 110 legislative House districts. You must have 56 in order to maintain that majority. So I'm hopeful that we will have that as well. But I think on a national level, there'll be a lot of unknown.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. But we will be patient. It's about the process, and we need fair and accurate results.
Thanks for coming out.
Of course. And again, to the voters and listeners, I'm State Rep. Julie Alexander, honored to be earning your vote on November 3rd and return to Lansing for my third and final term in the State House.